Hi, everybody, and welcome to another great episode of the IAC podcast. Today we have an amazing guest, Matt Gowie. Matt, great seeing you.
Yeah, good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Tell us about your background, and I think you know a little bit about IAC, right?
Yeah, I know a little bit. Background, I've been in software for probably 14 to 15 years now. I started as an application engineer, quickly became a manager, started to do consulting as a solo consultant, and kind of fell into, hey, all this cloud knowledge that I have is really useful. And I found Terraform around 0.11, where, hey, I realized, oh, I can actually help clients with building their environments in on AWS and do it well, like actually not have it be this awful experience that is only in my mind. So got really into it around that time of the 0.11 to 0.12 switch, made that my focus as a consultant. And then around a couple of years ago, I swapped over to being hands-off keyboard. I'm now the CEO of a consulting firm, so I spend a little bit of time coding and writing Terraform, but I mainly have me and my team come into engagements, and we really focus on Terraform, Tofu, and just really building great infrastructure for our clients. So that's what we do. That's our like focus and subject matter expertise. And yeah, I know a thing or two, I think.
Awesome. Can you please refresh my memory? Maybe I'm wrong here, but from what I remember, 0.11 and 0.12, they had some breaking changes. Something important happened between those two versions. Am I right or am I totally confused?
Yeah. No, totally. It was the HCL1 to HCL2 changeover. So there was like version one of HCL, which was like the type system wasn't that good, where, you know, you didn't have, I think that Boolean values weren't a thing. Everything was kind of like wrapped in strings. It was awful. It wasn't good. And then 0.12 came along and it was definitely a hard upgrade where you kind of had to do a good bit of work to get things into the right shape. But yeah, you're remembering it correctly. I had a lot of fun with that because I had just gotten into Terraform around 0.11, wrote a ton of code for a client. And then, you know, of course, 0.12 comes out not many months later. And I was in a state of, oh, well, here we go. Now I need to redo a bunch of things or I need to fix a bunch of things. It wasn't too bad, but yeah.
I remember a long time ago when I wrote some Python code and then Python 3 came. So that was also an interesting interesting thing to consider, this breaking changes migration. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. And when you looked at Terraform, what were your thoughts about TerraGrant? Did you choose to focus only on Terraform, or do you also work with some implementations of TerraGrant and run all and workflows and things like that?
Yeah, it's a good question. I've actually never run TerraGrant myself, or outside of, not for a client. We've only used it, you know, for a couple like POC things. I have one of my team members who loves TerraGrunt and he's always bugging us to use it on a new project, which we're looking to do. We're interested in TerraGrunt and TerraMate. Masterpoint myself, back when I was a solo consultant and as, you know, I've grown a team, we've used Atmos a lot. So I do like the framework mindset of saying, hey, Terraform is this really great tool, but it has some shortcomings. Doing just vanilla Terraform, you don't have a lot of conventions. You kind of just have to go your own way a lot of the time. Rebuild the wheel is the way that I like to think about it. And we try and avoid that at all costs. So we use Atmos on a number of projects. That's a project by Cloud Posse. It's a framework that's steadily gaining some traction, but it's an alternative to TerraGrunt. And I think it's really picking one and going with it is like the biggest, one of the biggest pieces of advice that I give to clients, because it doesn't necessarily matter which framework you pick. If you pick a framework, then you at least have some more structure in how you're going to build your project, build your Terraform. And that can give you a velocity boost. So I'm a fan of TerraGrunt. I just haven't used it enough. Yeah.
Sounds great. And yeah, you've mentioned Cloud Posse, and maybe a shout out to our buddy Eric Osterman that we really like, that is pushing forward this entire ecosystem of infrastructure as code. So hi, Eric, if you're listening. Cool.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your customers. So they use mostly AWS, and you were helping them with Terraform. Have you seen any changes in the level of knowledge, in the level of adoption? How much do you need to educate them about why IAC, why Terraform now compared to a few years ago? What from your perspective, change or maybe haven't changed in the last few years?
Yeah, I think I'm seeing a good shift. You know, people are getting it more and more. I think, you know, particularly in the mid-market world, where people have hired, you know, a lot of the sysadmins, cloud engineers, platform engineers, DevOps people, whatever you want to call them, they've hired like a number of people, right? Like a team of 5 or 10 or something along those lines to manage their infrastructure. And a lot of it has been, you know, historically ClickOps. Maybe they had some scripts. And they get into this state where it's just gets unmanageable. Like they don't know what they have in their accounts. They don't know, you know, how to wrangle all these different resources in AWS. And AWS doesn't make it easy. You know, everybody has the criticism, and it's well-founded, that AWS is a hard environment in terms of like user experience. Like, you know, the account boundary is really difficult. There's a lot of things with IAM that are hard. But you bring in Terraform into that, and you at least have this tangible thing that says, hey, this resource is here. And that feels like people are really getting on board. And we've seen, you know, we just had a big client that went, you know, for a few months last year, where we, you know, upgraded them from not having any infrastructure as code for one of their major environments. They were in, I think it was 6 regions around the world. And we, you know, they were managing it all by hand, doing manual deployments of EC2 instances. And we really upgraded them into a world where now they don't have that much pain to actually roll out updates, to do, you know, patches of their instances, to have a handle on all these environments. So I think that when you're dealing with infrastructure at scale, people are realizing that there's only one way to do it well, and that's Terraform. That's some level of infrastructure as code. Configuration management is not enough. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I hear all over the place. And you know, you said that you're more focusing on AWS. What are your thoughts about the maturity of the AWS Terraform provider now compared to a few years ago? How much is it up to date with the actual possible, the actual options you have in ClickOps on AWS directly versus the maturity of the Terraform provider? Is it well maintained? Do you have some feedback about the status of the AWS Terraform provider?
I think it's gotten so much better, right? Like they've done day one releases where, hey, new feature, new service in AWS comes with the corresponding Terraform resources. Shout out to, you know, like people like Tyler Lynch and Bruno, I don't know his name, but like there's just a bunch of good like developers on that provider that are really doing a lot of good work and keeping it up to date and you know, keeping things up to spec. You know, it's great. And, you know, I hear the people who are still in CloudFormation, you know, they still run into times where they don't have resources that are new. And I'm like, yeah, I don't really run into that anymore. I mean, I remember wow, for a solid 6 months, wow, I had to wait for Amplify. Wait. Oh, go ahead. Yeah,
you're saying that you've noticing recently that Terraform provider is more updated compared to CloudFormation.
Yeah, I've heard of people say that there are resources that you can't use in CloudFormation that you can use in Terraform, like the
wow,
and I've only heard that anecdotally, but yeah, it is crazy. Yeah,
it's the first time I hear that, but that's super super interesting. Wow. Okay. And what about the other adjacent projects in the ecosystem, the maturity of those that work hand in hand with Terraform, like Atlantis or static code analysis, such as Chekhov and Terrascan? What have you seen in the area about the maturity of the entire ecosystem and not just provisioning of infrastructure?
I think it's gotten really good where a lot of that stuff is really easy to run in CI. I mean, Atlantis and all of the tacos and, you know, I think that's its own separate discussion. But in terms of just like static code analysis, we run Trivy and TFLint and TF format on all pull requests for all clients. You know, and I think that we do that in a pretty maintainable way via a tool called Trunk. And it just keeps you in check, right? Like it's, we're getting to the point where we have a really solid set of tools that can, you know, keep things. So nobody's going in and creating some crazy Terraform code that's gonna, you know, burn you a year later or 3 months later or whatever it is. So I feel like the ecosystem has gotten better in that regard. And I really am a big supporter of tools like Trunk, Trunk.io, that wrap all those things and make it a simple process for you to roll them into a project. It's something that we've really enjoyed in the past 6 months, 8 months. Yeah.
I really like during my conversation that you know, the experts that are guests on my show shared some tools and other things that they recommend. So great to see that you recommend Trunk. You also mentioned Trivy. The co-founder of Aquasec, Amir, was also a guest in one of the first episodes.
Oh, cool.
And he talked a lot about Trivy and how they inherited TFSec and put it inside of their major open source Trivy. Or Trivy, yeah. Sorry if I'm pronouncing it in the wrong way.
I didn't know how to pronounce it either, so yeah, I'm right there with you. But yeah, they do a good job.
Awesome. Yeah, Aquasec is an amazing company when it comes to security of containers and Kubernetes and cloud-native workflows. Awesome. Now, let's talk about something called OpenTofu. You're well aware of what's going on in the fork, and you wrote about a month and a half ago a very viral post that talks about your experience with the OpenTofu and the switch to OpenTofu. Can you share more about your actual hands-on experience when it comes to switching to OpenTofu?
Yeah. It was a breeze. It was nice. Like I think, you know, it wasn't our largest project that we've ever worked on at Masterpoint. But it was, you know, not a small size project. You know, it's one team of 30 engineers, or 30 people. And, you know, my team of, you know, I usually have two people on that project. We have thousands of resources, like around 100 state files. So we get pretty granular on how we section up state because we try and avoid teraliths. And I expected when doing that upgrade that we were going to hit more issues. And really, it wasn't, you know, a migration so much as it was a, you know, flip of a switch. And then suddenly things were kind of in a good state. And the work that I had to do, so I did it personally because it was interesting to me to see, hey, is this viable? Can we bring this to other clients? Can I speak to this and say that Tofu is ready? So I wanted to do it myself. And when I did it, you know, I spend 10% of my time hands on keyboard nowadays. Yep. And I was able to get it done within about a week and, you know, less than a full day of work. So the work that I ended up doing was really in our upgrading our supporting tooling, upgrading our framework, upgrading like how we automate Terraform, and making some open source contributions so that's easier for others. I think that felt really good. Like it felt like a good upgrade path. And now, hey, we don't need to worry about switching to Terraform Cloud or something like that. That would cost us 5x of what we were spending for our client. So I don't know. I'm a big fan of how it went. And yeah, we have a blog post that'll be published before this podcast goes live, that it goes into all the details about, hey, what did I have to do? What were the things that have come up since then? And all that. And it's largely, I'd say it's 95% positive. Like the feedback I have is very minimal. So, yeah, two thumbs up on my man, on my end.
So just to clarify, you were using Terraform 1.5 and then you decided to switch to OpenTofu 1.6. You had thousands of Terraform files. Just to clarify, how many Terraform files you had to change in order to keep this up and running?
It was zero Terraform files. Like I didn't, so I had to upgrade some of our supporting Terraform that like automated, you know, our workspaces and all that, because we use Terraform for everything, but it wasn't like I hit a bug because Tofu was different than Terraform. And then suddenly I needed to make a fix. It was
compatible.
Yeah. 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 It all just kind of worked out where no changes were needed, which was pretty amazing.
Yeah. So that's, I think, the most important thing. A lot of people approach me and they wonder what they need to do with their code, what they need to do with the modules, what they need to do with the providers. And they are very much surprised when I tell them, just use it and you see that it's going to work. I point them to your blog post or your LinkedIn post currently. And for some reason, they are surprised about it. So that's what I want to echo here, that OpenTofu 1.6 is compatible to Terraform and no changes in the code are needed whatsoever. Now, 1.7 is going to be both compatible and with an additional capability that OpenTofu will have that Terraform doesn't. So just to clarify, all of the things in Terraform 1.7 are going to exist in OpenTofu 1.7, but OpenTofu 1.7 includes also the long-awaited state encryption. Let's talk about state encryption. So you're using Terraform for many of your clients, and eventually there is some state file, or usually numerous state files in plain text that are stored somewhere. What has been your experience so far with the implications of generating plain text state files that contains some sensitive information? What was your approach? What was the process around that?
Yeah, I think that for us, we've been dealing with it in a very particular way, in a very like standard way, where we treated it as like a ultimate secret, like it's kind of locked off from everyone except for certain team members who have the ability to plan and apply locally, which is very few. And then the automation system that can actually go and grab that state file and do plans and applies. So like we keep it in S3, it's encrypted at rest, it's, you know, versioned, and we really make sure it's locked down. So we've always dealt with state with the best practices that we've come to find that feel like, hey, we know how to handle this. I think that the thing that gets exciting about state encryption is when you're in a much bigger org and you might have less control over that, or you have people who are doing, who are going there, you know, who are off-roading off the beaten path and like are doing their own thing. And if you can enforce state encryption, then you at least know that, hey, if they make a mistake in where they store Terraform, or maybe they don't, you know, correctly lock it down, you at least have it encrypted so that there's some extra step. You know, security through layers is how we always want to think about things. And state encryption just gives us another great layer. And I am excited to try it out. I'm waiting for, you know, the full release. I didn't want to check out the alpha or beta yet, but I'm looking forward to it. So it should be good.
Yeah, you know, when we talk about security, sometimes I give the example of a casino. So when you enter a casino, somebody checks you in the entrance to make sure you don't have any, you know, guns or weapons or knives or things like that. So that's like the first step of security. But then when you play poker or you play blackjack, there is another security person to make sure you don't steal the chips or you don't mess with the cards. So it's like several layers of security. And you cannot really just say, yeah, I'm just going to have security in the entrance, or I'm just going to have security near the blackjack tables. You need to have a combination in order to have a reasonable security. And I think same goes here. You've mentioned the approaches you've been doing before you had state encryption. And yeah, you've been following best practices, but there is always a risk that if somebody will do something unintentionally, or if there is a hacker that gets access to something, then you are in huge risk to your production and your entire organization. And now with the state encryption, it's like, oh, it's everything gets a new priority or severity of what this asset means of the actual state file. And if it's going to be always encrypted, so that puts a totally different approach to what we need to think about when we secure our IAC and workflows, now that we know that the state file is encrypted. And you know what I like about it, besides the value? I like the involvement of the community. So, you know,
state
encryption is something that has been waited for a long time by the community and was pushed to OpenTofu by the community. It's work done by the community. That's what I really like, how this project OpenTofu gets adoption and collaboration from the community, like so many other CNCF based projects.
Yeah, it's been amazing to be in the Tofu Slack and just see, you know, and watch some of the issues. I feel like it's exciting that there's so much involvement. It's exciting that there are people who are really putting the time in to make this project have serious legs and new functionality and solve some of the issues that we just saw sit open on the Terraform side for a while. And it's cool too. I mean, I feel like the Terraform team, you know, they're stepping up too. And, you know, there's, as much as I, you know, was really upset about the HashCorp license change, I think that the competition is kind of helping us all maybe in the end. And, you know, I wasn't thinking about it from that perspective. I was just kind of sad. But, you know, now I'm in this state of, oh, hey, maybe this could be good in the end. You know, if we have Tofu as the, you know, actual open source alternative, and that continues to grow, we could really, it's exciting. It feels like invigorating. So there's some really good stuff going on in the community. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, a few days ago, an article that I wrote was published on the News Stack that talks about how Terraform and OpenTofu are like HTTP. And I quoted Kelsey Hightower that wrote a tweet about the fork of OpenTofu when it was announced, about how it reminds him of HTTP and different browsers. So you have one type of concept of standard that is the Terraform standard, and you have two implementations, the HashiCorp Terraform that definitely keeps on improving, and there are some nice things going on there, and you have the OpenTofu that is more community involved and get things like the state encryption. And eventually, yeah, you have something that is more driven by a commercial company and one that is more driven by the community, and both implement the same standard. So it's like browsers, that you have those open browsers and you have those, let's say, Internet Explorer browsers that both implement a standard named HTTP. So I think it started to happen here. And when you have competition, it forces you to innovate and to do things that will win. So I really like the fact of how IAC becomes such a critical thing for all companies where they manage their production workloads, and to see more and more focus and energy and contributors to that space is really amazing to see. Awesome.
Yeah. It's a great time.
Yeah, Matt. Thank you so much for being a guest on our show, talking about IAC, Terraform, OpenTofu, AWS, and how clients and the community is becoming more mature in so many aspects. Thank you for being on the show today.
Yeah. Anything you want Thank to you. Like? It's been a pleasure.
Awesome. So thanks everybody for listening, and have a great rest of the day. Bye-bye.
See you.